happening today. In the world of baseball, we've got final scores of 4-5, 6-3, 3-2, and a couple of teams are all tied up at 4-4. Somebody got hurt in one of those games, but we'd rather not say who or which one. On the links today in Houston, one guy who did really good yesterday didn't today, as some other guy surged ahead to take the lead. Quiet on the gridiron again today as football players all over the country continue to wait for next year. Same thing in college basketball, but not as long. Too cold again for boats today, and the people who like hitting each other just kept on doing it until half of them fell down. And that's about it for the BITTT Sports Scoreboard. We'll see y'all in some kind of stadium or arena or something. But for now, here's Bubbles.
Now at 11:03, according to that very same WMFO digital clock, you are in tune with your freeform radio station. It is WMFO Medford. I'm Belinda, and this is Bubbles in the Think Tank. It's two of the sportiest hours of radio programming imaginable on this Saturday evening. It's all the sports you can stomach. No. Yes, it's all the sports you can stomach, all the sports you can shake your stick at. And we've been double-dong-daring you at the buzzer since 1990. I don't think there's any better time to do it right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank. Coming up in around about, 60 minutes, sometime after the midnight hour, it will be time for the radio obituaries. It's that time each week where we say farewell to those who have passed in recent days and weeks and months. And that won't be so sporty. You know, I warned you a couple of weeks ago that it was really time to do something to liven up the show a little bit. Time for a little bit of a change. Something a little different. And you know, we've always wanted to attract a larger, let's call it a mass audience. You know, the audience we deserve. And after copious market research, it became clear that turning to sports is really the only way for us here at Bubbles in the Think Tank. Now, we're not going to change the name of the show, though. That would just be dumb. That wouldn't make any sense at all. Because we have a good brand. Trust me on that one. Believe me. So we're going to make that turn. We're still going to be hanging out over there at the Bubbles in the Think Tank Facebook chat group so that you, the listener, can Continue to play along the way you have always liked to do. Please don't stop now. And I hope you like this new turn that the show's going to take, because you know me. I've always been a sports nut right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank.
Taking time out for a little bit of color at the game as we chat with a gentleman whose work has been observed probably by anyone who's ever visited a football game or taken one in. You are?
Arthur Baffinetti.
Mr. Baffinetti, I understand you've got a few minutes respite here now that it's halftime.
That's right.
Would you explain just what it is you do?
Well, I own a string of dogs, Biff, and I'm hired by the sponsors of broadcasts of football games to bring out two or three dogs to a certain game, and I run them out on the field at given signals to hold up the activity down there till they get some commercials in.
In other words, length of time the dog is on the field, the timeout, you can throw in, or they can throw in, more commercials.
Well, in this day now, if your T formation and all, not too many times out are called. And, of course, that doesn't help the sponsor. So if we don't have any timeout called on the field by either the referee or the two teams, then I let go one of my mangy curs.
I was going to ask you if you have any particular type of dog.
He's been trained. He's hard to grab. You can't fool him by running over and saying, sit, boy, and pick him up.
He can dodge pretty well.
He knows
broken seal running.
That's right. He stays within the 240-yard lines, and so that the cameras or the announcers are going to see him and describe him.
Well,
now, do you ever use them during halftime like this?
No.
To break up, you keep them strictly in
control? Strictly for the game. That's
strictly
right.
Strictly for the game, fine.
I have some 20 dogs, and of course, they're used every week from coast to coast.
Well, you certainly have built up an enviable business here, and I think one that, from my point of view, of course, is a very practical one.
Well, thank you very much, Bev.
Squeeze those commercials in, and you do give us a great deal more.
Well, I get to get along down to them now.
Thanks very much, Mr. Baffinetti.
It's a very interesting game.
We'll be back to the game in a little while.
I throw house bricks for the Arsenal. I chuck lead pipe for West Ham.
I kick a mine for Chelsea.
I kill for Tottenham.
I drop bottles for United on the crowd from up above.
Yes, football is a game that we all love.
I raise a slash for Sheffield.
I cut them up for QPR.
I stick nails in them for Norwich.
For Leeds I slash and scar.
For Celtic I throw petrol bombs whenever a team score.
Yes, football is the game that we adore. We all love football.
Kill.
Rape.
Slash.
Ah. We all love football.
Shoot.
Stab.
Boot.
Ah.
Football is the game that we adore.
I hack limbs off for Newcastle.
I rake for Luton Town.
For the Rangers, I kill strangers and kick these horses down.
I set fire to referees who let opponents score.
Yes, football is the game that we adore. We all love football.
Bomb.
Hurt.
Kill.
Ah.
We all love football.
Slash.
Kick.
Maim.
Ah.
Football is the game that we adore. The end.
We'll be right back.
While batting one day, Lefty Lemon got a double. But that two-base hit sure caused a whole lot of trouble.
I have seven hairs and a bright red cap atop my lemon dome. My name is Lefty Lemon, and the ballpark was my home. And I lived beneath the left field wall where fly balls were a cinch. When I was in the batter's box, I would never flinch. Hey, I was faster than greased lightning. My left arm was like a gun. I covered that big old ball field. Hey, you should have seen me run. But the reason I'm not playing now is a mighty sorry tale. They caught me stealing second base and threw me right in jail. Ooh!
It's no secret that a performer is always terribly nervous and excited on an opening night, and it's quite understandable because he's worked hard and waited many years for this moment. However, this reaction is not restricted to show business. People in all endeavors feel this way when their first big break comes. So, with this in mind, here is a sportscaster doing a play-by-play description of his first big game. Take it away, Phil Lucebrink.
Ah, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is your old fiend, friend Phil Bruceling, Phil Lucebrink, bringing you a play-by-play description of today's game between NY Penn and NYU and Penn State. Ah, it's a grand day in the great stand, a great day in the grandstand, and the salt and gun shines beaming on the spectator's faces. Oh, what a fright! What a sight! I see little boys are peddling popcorn, and here come the bakers with their bedpans. But enough of the band, enough of the stands, and now on the field. I see the players are warming up. The referee is kicking the call off, and there goes the bow. The ball soaring sky to the high. As it comes down, one of the best eight boys in the five-yard line, move up the field. He's on the louse. He's on the loose. He moves up to NYU board, throws him a flying tackle, and grounds him on a dirty clothesline. The 30-yard line. What a tackle. What a run of that boy is. He's been right up there in the state pen for quite a while. The Penn State for quite a while. Now the boys have gone back to the puddle, back to the hotel. Back to the huddle, come to the scramble, his line, scrimmage ball is scrapped, and it's a center plunge, but he only gained about 5 pounds. 5 yards. But wait, someone's been hurt. He's flying on the bat of his back out there. What he needs is first aid. I see the doctor, is rushing across the bag with a stadium in his hand. Across the stadium with a bag in his hands, he's kneeling the boy's side, working feverishly, and the crowd is going mad. Ah, but the beer comes up from the stand. A cheer comes up from the stand. He has shaved the player's wife. Saved the player's life. I'm having a little trouble with my squeak. I twist a little tongue up. I better turn the mic over to Mike. The mic over to Mick. I'll see you later.
hello.
Well, hello there. My, my, what are you doing here at the club?
I came down to play some pool.
Pool?
Would you like to play some pool with me?
Well, you know, honey, that's one game I don't know a darn thing about.
You don't?
No.
Well, let me explain it to you.
Well, yes, I'd like to know something about it.
You see, we play in a big table.
Oh, we play on a big table?
Yes.
Well, it's been a long time since I played on a table.
Yes?
Yeah, but I guess I can stand up to it all right.
Oh, of course you can.
Why, sure.
Now, the table is covered with green cloth.
Oh, the table is covered with green cloth.
That's right.
Well, I know what that's for.
What?
Well, that's to kind of make us think we're out in the grass.
Oh?
You little devil. Now, tell me some more.
There are rubber cushions all around the sides of the table.
Rubber cushions all around the sides of the table?
Yes.
What are the rubber cushions for?
Oh, that's so your balls will bounce back.
So my balls will bounce back.
That's right.
This is going to be a rough game, isn't it?
Oh, no, it isn't.
No.
You'll love it.
Well, tell me some more.
Now you put your balls in a rack.
I put my balls in a rack?
That's right.
Where's the rack?
It's on the table.
On the table?
Yes.
I'm going to look funny as hell standing with my balls in the rack on the table.
No, you won't.
I won't?
No.
Well, tell me some more.
Now take your cue in your hand.
Yes.
And get ready for a good shot.
Look, honey, when I got my cue in my hand, I know what to do.
You do?
Oh, my ass, my ass, my ass.
Oh, that's fine.
Yes, now tell me some more.
Now I'll take your cue and put chalk on the end of it.
I put chalk on the end of my cue?
That's right.
But where's my cue?
You hold it out about arm's length.
I hold it out arm's length?
Yes.
Look, honey, you've got me mixed up with someone else.
What do you mean?
Well, I'll put chalk on my cue, but it won't be way to hell and gone out there.
No.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, it doesn't matter as long as you get chalk on the end of it.
Well, what's the chalk for?
That's to keep you from slipping.
Slipping?
Mm-hmm.
Well, honey, if I slip, I can start over again, can't I?
Oh, of course you can.
Why, sure, slips don't count. Now, tell me some more.
Now you bust your balls.
I bust my balls.
That's right.
Oh, this is going to be a rough game, isn't it?
No, it isn't.
It isn't, huh?
You'll like it.
Well, I might as well bust them. They're no damn good anyway. Now, tell me some more.
Now, if one of your balls goes in the hole, you get another shot.
Look, honey, if one of my balls goes in the hole, the game's over as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, no, that's the idea of the game.
Yeah?
Yes, get your object ball in the hole without scratching.
Look, babe, I'll be so damn busy bouncing my balls on the cushions, I won't have time to scratch. Hey, where are we going to play this game?
Down in the basement. Just follow me.
Yeah, well, I hope I don't wreck my balls or bust my cue. So long, folks.
You are still in tune with your freeform radio station. It is WMFO Medford. I remain Belinda. This continues to be Bubbles in the Think Tank in our new sports era of the program. We hope you're enjoying it. And if you're betting on things, I hope you're doing it wisely and responsibly. Okay? Thank you. Do that for me. It takes more than good grades to get into college, and for all the steps, visit knowhowtogo.org today. It's a message from the American Council on Education, the Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council. It's nice to see that everybody's sticking with us, even with this big format change tonight. Hopefully we're picking up new people as well. Nice to know that even with a change like this, we can still manage to get in any number of artists from the Bubbles in the Think Tank stable of stars. We always like to do that whenever possible. But let's move right back into it right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank.
Backfield in motion.
And here's something we'll miss doing after tonight, introducing Stan Lomax with all of the sports.
And good evening, everyone. This is one of those rare days in spring when the sport discussions veer from the routine of baseball and hockey and basketball down to Churchill Downs, the racetrack, which is on the outskirts of Louisville. It's the 102nd annual Kentucky Derby Eve. However, the race is not the complete story for this weekend. There are two vital basketball games in the National Association playoffs this evening. The World's Heavyweight Boxing Championship is at stake down in Landover, Maryland, and the Collegians are hitting the home stretch in their baseball, lacrosse, track, and other activities. And Major League Baseball, well, we have 11 games, every one of them to be played this evening. Here in town, the Mets will have the first home night game of the season in Shea Stadium. They've played night games on the road. And over in the American League, there'll be several games played tonight, too. There'll be four contests, and that's not counting the one between the New York Yankees and a game being played played out in Kansas City. The Boston Red Sox are down in fourth place in the East, and they're on a three-game losing streak. And that's our story for another day. But, however, before we toss it back to Bob and Ray, is the traditional locking of the gates to Studio 2 ceremony coming up. And as you know, this is the final parade for the guards. They'll be accompanying Bob and Ray in their new fields of endeavor. All of us here at WOR wish Bob and Ray everything good as they leave us.
Welcome to
White World of Sports,
brought to you by
Budweiser,
Breakfast of Champions.
Remember, when you're out of Bud,
tough Schlitz. And also by
Pit Stop, the all-day deodorant for people who can't afford to wait.
And today we journey to
Sofia, Bulgaria,
where we're going to be watching
the United States High School Championship basketball game
between
the East Westchester North Stars, champions of the Southern Conference,
against
the Bloods from Rappbau Memorial High School in Newark, New Jersey.
And tonight we will be talking to
Coach JoJo Bubba Jr.,
otherwise known as
Amguana Kick Booty.
Take it away, Red.
Howdy, this is Red Blazer, and I'm here courtside with the coach of the Bloods. Tell us, coach, how are you going to get your boys up for tonight's game?
I'm going to kick booty.
That's right, and I'm Red Blazer, and we're here courtside with the coach of the Bloods. Coach, let's talk about your record.
My record?
That's right.
The hell you want to bring that up for, man?
Well,
hell, I thought you wanted to talk about basketball, man. Now, I did my time, man. I paid my debt to society,
no,
man.
I
don't need to be talking about my record, man.
Well, wait a minute, Coach.
How the hell I know she was 13?
No, Coach, you
misunderstand
me.
She looked 15 anyway.
Coach, what we meant is your one-loss record. Now, you're the winningest coach in the history of high school basketball.
That's right.
And your team has won over 455 games this season alone.
That's right.
And your star center, Tyrone Shoelaces, is averaging over 132 points a game.
That's wrong.
Wrong?
Yeah, he's averaging over 132 points a game.
Oh, that's right. Coach, let's talk about shoelaces for a bit. Here's a boy who's only 4'11", yet he leads the league in rebounding.
That's right.
Assists.
That's
scoring,
right.
Scoring.
That's
scoring
right.
Scoring over 65 points a game.
That's right.
He seems like he does everything but sell popcorn during halftime.
No, he don't sell popcorn.
Well, tell us, what is the secret of his success? What makes him such a great basketball player?
Well, why don't you just ask him that yourself? Come on over here, Tyrone. Come on over here. The man here want to talk to you.
Tyrone, hello. Glad to meet you, sir. Tyrone, what makes you such a great basketball player?
What makes me such a great basketball player? Well, that's simple. I got a basketball Jones.
You hear that? He got a basketball Jones.
A basketball Jones? What's a basketball Jones?
Go on, tell him what a basketball Jones is, Tyrone.
What's a basketball Jones? That's simple. A basketball Jones is when you love basketball so much, you are like a junkie.
And now it's time for New Horizons in Music Appreciation. Different approaches to the problem of popularizing the 19th century classics. Now, unlike the Baroque masterworks, 19th century pieces such as the Beethoven symphonies are usually so long and melodramatic that the average listener has to be informed through the use of program notes as to what's going on in order to prevent him from falling into a confused slumber. The only trouble is that they always turn the lights down in concert halls, so you can't read the notes while the piece is being played. So, here is a new solution to a perennial problem.
Good evening, music fans. Here we are at Philharmonic Hall in New York Mills, Minnesota. It's a beautiful night for a concert. There's not a cloud in the ceiling. And there's quite a crowd out here. About how many do you think there are, Bob?
Oh, I don't know, Pete.
Well, neither do I, but it's quite a crowd. And I think they're looking forward to hearing the New York Mills Philharmonic playing against the Danish conductor, Heilige Dankesang. And here he comes now, ascending the podium, and the players are all lined up and ready to begin the first inning of Beethoven's Symphony No. 5 in C minor.
Four-note themes. It's very exciting. The beginning of a symphony is always very exciting, folks. I don't know whether it's slow or fast yet because it keeps stopping. It doesn't seem to be able to get off the ground yet. And it looks like, yes, it looks like we're coming up to a cadence here, folks. The violins didn't cut off there. A little trouble with the violins. They weren't watching. And there's that four-note theme again, folks. And another stop. Just can't seem to get this piece off the ground. Now it seems to be rolling a little bit. Seems to be building up. Tell me, Bob, do you think you'd call that four-note idea a theme or a motif?
Well, Pete, the technical term would be motif, which he uses to build a theme.
I see. Thanks for setting me straight about that, Bob. Well, we're heading into the second theme section here, and we can expect a little modulation down there. Wow, did you hear that, Bob? Somebody down there in the horn section really flubbed that note. That was one of the worst fumbles I think I've ever witnessed in all my days. I think it was number one, wasn't it, Bob?
Yes, it was, Pete. That was Bobby Cornhill in the first chair, and that's the third major flub he's made this season, giving him a solo average for the season of approximately .247355, which is pretty darn low for a first chair man.
You think there's some chance he might be sold to another orchestra?
Well, it's hard to say, Pete. Cornhill's very good in the long solos, things like the Rachmaninoff Manic Concerto. So I think if he pulls himself together a bit, they'll probably keep him around, although I suppose he might...
Well, I think it's development time down there now, Bob. Let's see what's going to happen. The horns are starting it off. They seem to be in pretty good shape now, and I get the feeling that we're probably going to be hearing a lot of that four-note motif, don't you, Bob?
Yes, I do, Pete.
So do I, Bob. Well, they obviously are stuck with that four-note motif and are going to be fooling around with it for quite a while. You notice it's pretty hot in here, Bob?
Yes, I do, Pete.
Yeah, I think the air conditioning has gone off, which is just one of the things... Wait a minute, there's something going on down there on the stage, folks. There's something happening down there. It's really building up tension. The crowd is getting very excited. The brasses have come in and the timpani and everybody, and it's extremely exciting. I think we're building up to a fugue. No, the basses are not picking up the theme, folks. It is not a fugue. The violins tried to make it one, but the basses are not following up. No, instead of a fugue, folks, he seems to be taking the theme and breaking it up into little pieces. Just two notes left of that theme now being thrown around from player to player. And it's getting softer and softer down there, folks. I think they're losing steam. They seem to be running out of steam. And it's just getting a little bit lethargic down there, if you want to know the truth. It's gotten down to one note now. And things are... Wait a minute! The brasses have come in and tried to pep things up. A welcome relief. But I'm afraid to no avail. Things are still pretty somber. Wait a minute. They hear they come again. They're really determined. It sounds very familiar. And I think we've reached the recap, Bob, don't you?
There's no doubt about it, Pete. Your average Beethoven symphony usually has a recap right after the second quarter, and this one is falling right into line.
Well, let's see if those violins can cut off with the rest of the orchestra, and the cadence is coming up. Wait a minute. This time it's the oboe holding the note too long. Wait, he's playing a cadenza. He must be out of his mind. He thinks it's an oboe concerto. The conductor's standing down there. He doesn't know what to do. Have you ever heard anything like that, Bob?
I certainly haven't, Pete. I think it was a disgraceful display of lack of teamsmanship. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if Highwood's name wasn't on the roster next season, although I must say that the fans really seem to go for these outbursts of temperament.
Well, I always say, Bob, professional music teams wouldn't exist without the spectators. Anyway, we're into the home stretch here with the second theme coming up, and we should be in C minor right up to the double bar. Wait a minute. That's really something, Bob. The piece's build is being in C minor, and yet it looks like it's going to end in C major.
It's really something, Pete.
Well, I think it's something that the Composers Commission ought to look into, and I suspect that they will as soon as this gets out. But it looks like it's going to be an ending anyway. Things are building up a little there. The violins have really gotten a hold of things. They're really beginning to roll, and now he's adding all the woodwinds there. He's thrown in all his brass and the timpani, and it's tutti all the way, folks. He's got a great piece on his hands here, and he looks like he's really coming into the home stretch. Well, I guess that about wraps it up, hey, Bob?
Yeah, Pete, it's kind of good.
I think he can really have something to be proud of himself here. Wait a minute! The brasses are taking the theme! They're not letting it stop! They're taking the theme and running ahead! Bob, this piece is definitely going to go into overtime. I can see that. The crowd is going wild. They're standing up on their feet. They're jumping. They're stomping. They're yelling. And let me tell you that down on that stage, the players are doing a bit of running around themselves. Nobody, but nobody knows where the theme is. The audience, nor the players, nobody knows where that theme is. Everybody is running around. And believe me, it's very exciting. This is the kind of thing that only happens once in 10 years, folks. They've got a new theme going on down there. I can't believe it. Bob, do you know where this new theme comes from?
Well, Pete, it probably comes from, no, I don't, Pete.
Well, they're tossing it around now. The woodwinds have it, and then the strings have it. Nobody seems to be able to keep his hands on that theme. It's getting tossed around from player to player, from section to section. And believe me, folks, the audience is just as confused as the players is about who is going to have that theme finally. Wait a minute, the strings have got a hold of it. The strings have got a hold of that theme, and they are not going to let go. What's this? I can't believe my ears. It sounds as if it's another recap. It sounds as if he's going right back to the beginning. If this is true, it's the first time it's happened in 10 years of concert casting. Wait a minute. Those sound like final chords, though. This may be... That may be it, folks. I'm looking down at the referee. Yes, yes, that is it. That is the end of the piece. The players are taking off their helmets, and the conductor has turned around and is acknowledging the cheers of the crowd. Well, it was quite a symphony, wasn't it, Bob?
It was quite a symphony, Pete, and I think the fans feel that they got their money's worth.
So do I, Bob. And I don't think there's any doubt about who won this contest either. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be surprised if the critics slap a stiff penalty on some of the players, particularly Bobby Corno.
Neither would I, Pete. And, of course, this was a very important victory for Haile Gadankazang, since it puts him right up there at the top of the conductor's league.
That's right, Bob. That means that he'll be up against the Fargo-Moorhead Symphony in the World 12-Tone Series next month. And let's see, they not only lead the orchestral league, but I think they're unbeaten this season, aren't they, Bob?
You said it, Pete, and if Gadankazang can win four concerts off them, he'll be the first conductor to earn the pennant since Toscanini.
Well, that's quite a challenge, Bob. Now I think I'd better be heading down to the locker rooms to have a chat with Gadankazang himself.
Well, Pete, I think he was supposed to be doing a baton commercial after the concert, but why didn't you give it a try?
I'll do that, Bob. So for now, this is Pete Shickley.
And Bob Dennis.
Signing off for the wonderful wide world of...
a winter sportsman. I'd like to have a place that I could go home, where I could have a barrel of fun and a barrel of snow. Oh, I'd like to be a winter sportsman, with lots of little girlies by my side. I'd like to get them in my grip and teach them how to slip and slide. Hey, hey, holiday, pack my bag and fly away, where I can be the king of the resort. You can learn a lot with me, and maybe, baby, après-ski, you'll be a little winter sport. I thought I'd like to be a winter sportsman, big and brown and butch as I could be. I'd like to lead a line of lovely ladies laughing after me. To show the world what I can do, on my feet and on my face, I'd still get up and win the race. I only wish that it were true. Boo-hoo, I'd like to be a winter sportsman, with gold and silver medals on my chest. But every time, for heaven's sake, I nearly go and break my neck.
Rally for serve. Your serve, net ball. Your serve. That's game.
This song is about cheerleaders. I grew up in a little town in Indiana, not too far from here, about 30 miles, and and I was a cheerleader in seventh grade. And then in eighth grade, I didn't make it. And I was very sad about it. And I had to get over it. So my way of getting over it was to keep those cheers alive in my memory. And so one of my favorite cheers is contained in this next song. This song is about the kind of cheerleaders we must have been back then. It's called Cheerleaders on Drugs. How do they jump so high?
How do they in here?
And spread their legs so wide?
And with the skirts that they
wear? How do they mount each one?
To make the fear of it.
Yes, if the drugs they're on
is mental endless.
They wear their dark sunglasses.
They play the games at night.
The players make their passes.
They drop their pom-poms just to run
the mask and sneak in.
He's probably overspread. The game's not over yet. It's time to go to bed. It seems like they must be on drugs or just stupid. They're buoyant and busty and just plain dumb. It seems like they're brainwashed or on anesthesia. Their brain suffers weight loss, cause how else could they cheer like, go you engines, go, go you engines. Mmm, chagawa, mmm, chagawa. Go you engines, go, go you engines. Mmm, chagawa, engines got the power. Go G-O-G-O.
It stunts their mental growth.
It makes it hard to find
a future livelihood.
What others are their kind.
The marching band, it seems.
The boyers in the stands. The refs and both the teams are all the raving fans. For cheerleaders on drugs. Cheerleaders on drugs. Cheerleaders on drugs. It seems like I'm on drugs to store it, their point wasn't just playing dumb. The drug interaction could just be some teamwork. Their voices and factions make them sound like, go you engines, go, go you engines.
Here's something they used to make us do back then.
Go you engines, go, go you engines.
Then we thought of this one on our own. Give me an I, give me an N, N, give me a J,
J, U, N, S.
You know, we all like to play ball. And here's something to remember. When we play ball, everyone likes to play ball. Sometimes you catch it and sometimes you miss. But when you miss, remember this. Let the ball roll, let the ball roll, no matter where it may go. Let the ball roll, let the ball roll. It has to stop sometime, you know.
Often a truck flattens the ball and makes it look like an egg. Though you can get many a ball, you never can get a new leg.
Mandy Lee from Tennessee, sweetest gal you ever did see. Fell in love and here's what's more, married a golfer who couldn't score. One night when she was tight, she yelled with all her might, golfing papa, you're way over par. Better stop putting on my green. You had your way on my fairway, you know what I mean. Oh, your staunch is perfect and your aim is true, but when you drive, you don't follow through. Golfing, popping, you're way over par. Better stop putting on my green. And I'll say it again. Golfing, popping, you're way over par. Better stop putting on my green. You know you had your way on my old fairway, you know what I mean. You can putt with that thingamajig. Your club's too short and your feet's too big. Golfing, popping, you're way over par. Better stop putting on my green. real papa better stop cutting on my green. You had your way on my fairway, you know what I mean. How you play, I can't see through it. You need a club with more whip to it. Golfing, papa, you're way over par. Better stop putting on my green. You're way over par, better stop putting on my green. You had your way on my fairway, you know what I mean. I thought you were a man who knew his stuff. You just swing and boom, you're in the rough. Golfing, popping, you're way over par, better stop putting on my green. Use your nibbling, stop putting on my green.
Hello. I'd like to ask for just 1 minute of your valuable time to tell you about an astonishing opportunity you won't want to miss. Yes, sir, it's a rock music festival. You tell me there have been rock music festivals before, and you're 100% right. But I promise you there has never been a rock music festival like the Omaha Music, Art, Peace, Sex, and Badminton Festival. No, sir, no, madam. Never before such a weekend of music, art, peace, sex, and badminton. Never before a festival located on 6 breathtaking acres of unspoiled mountainside in a totally inaccessible part of this country. Sounds interesting, doesn't it? Aren't you glad you listened? Well, listen to the exciting attractions in store for you at this once-in-a-lifetime celebration of the human spirit. Yes, sir, yes, madam. That's your spirit I'm talking about. This festival has it all. We've got your wine, your music, your grass. We've got your organic food. We've got your portable toilets. We've got your narcs. We've got your mud, your rain, your hail, your truth, love, and companionship. Plus the famous rock music bands you'll want to see. Groups like your mud, your rain, your hail, your truth, love, and companionship. And I tell you this, sir, we've got your daughter. If you will send $50,000 in small bills to Box 986,